Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Chronicles chapter 17, Nathan and David is having a discussion. Nathan has recommended to David that he ought to build a house of God. Then God rebukes Nathan for telling David that. Then Nathan reverses what he says. And David was not able to build a house of God. He wanted to, but because of a man of war, he wasn't able to do that. And I want to pick up on that little thought. Notice with me tonight, if you will, please, in verse number 7. Now, therefore, thus shall thou say unto my servant David. Talking to Nathan here. Thus shall I say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, for thou shouldest rule over my people Israel. Now, notice what the Lord is saying to David. God's reminded David where he found it, and he's also reminding him where he's getting ready to take him and where he's going to go. Then he says in the next verse, I have been with thee, and wheresoever thou hast walked, and have cut off thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of great men that are in the earth. Look at verse 16 for the sake of time. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house? What is my house that thou shouldest brought me hitherto? Look at verse number 20. Bible says in verse number 20, O Lord, there is none like unto thee, neither is there any God beside thee. According to all that thou hast heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like unto thy people Israel? Hang on to this verse right here. What one nation in the earth is like unto thy people Israel, whom God had went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness, but driving out the nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. Thank you for sending you and be seated tonight. I want to give you two or three things by way of introduction tonight. And I want to walk down through this chapter with you tonight and give you some things out of this chapter tonight. Talk to you a little while tonight. Notice again in verse 16. Bible says in verse 16, And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I? Think about that statement tonight. David said, Who am I? I don't deserve anything. Who am I? Oh, Lord, and what is thine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? I want to talk to you a little while tonight on this thought, and you'll pick up on it in just a minute. On who in the world do we think we are tonight? David said, Who am I that you would do that for me? I want to talk to you tonight, and again, I want you to know this before I preach tonight. I'm appreciative for what the Lord does for us. I'm thankful for this building tonight. I'm thankful for my Bible tonight. I'm thankful for salvation tonight. And you're going to see in just a minute why I'm saying it that way. But I am thankful for it this evening. But in this text tonight, instead of tonight, you'll find that David tonight was a man after God's own heart. Twice in our Bible tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Also, Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 22. We're reminded tonight that David was a man after God's own heart. David had a desire after God, and David walked with God. Now, I know David messed up. I know David made some mistakes. You and I both know that tonight. But in spite of every bit of it tonight, David was a man after God's own heart. And what God is doing here in this chapter, he's reminding David, though he's not going to let him build a house, he's still reminding David how good he's been to him. And notice what he does. I'll give you two or three things by way of introduction tonight. First of all, you see David's desire by way of introduction. The Bible says in verse 1 through 6, and we're not going to read it all, David had a desire to build a house of God for the Lord. And he wanted to do that. Of course, you know this evening, if you read this chapter, you'll find that God did not allow that because of David and what David had been in war. Also in this chapter tonight, way of introduction, you don't want to see David's desire. You see David's deliverance tonight. And God is reminding David where he found him tonight. It's his deliverance. Look at verse 7 again. Bible said in verse number 7, thus shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep coat, from even following the sheep. You know what he's doing? He's reminding David of his deliverance. Hey, David, you know where you was at when I found you? All you was a shepherd. All you was those that watched after the sheep. And he's reminding David here this afternoon where he found him. In other words, he's telling David, you was a nobody. All you was a sheep keeper. You was a nobody when I found you. And matter of fact, if you study it, you'll find Jesse didn't put much hope in David. Because when Samuel come down to anoint the one for king, guess what? All the sons of Jesse passed by before David ever come by. And God has reminded David here where he found him. David being the eighth son of Jesse, and he was the very last one that passed by. You see in this text tonight, you see his desire, you see his deliverance. But notice this before I get to my message tonight. Notice David's defense tonight. God has reminded David, he's defended him. Look at verse 8. Bible said in verse 8, I have been with thee, and whatsoever of thine walkest, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee. He's reminded David how that he defended him, how that he took care of him. Many a time Saul would have killed him. Many a time if Saul had his way, he would have had him dead. But God is reminding David here how that he took care of him, how that he defended him. Then also in this text tonight, by way of introduction, you see David's dominion. Notice where God takes David. Look at verse 7 again. Bible says in verse 7, and now therefore shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep coat, he's reminded where he found it, even from following the sheep, how that thou shouldest be, get this statement, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people. In other words, God is saying to David, I'm getting ready to set you on the throne. I'm getting ready to set you high, and you're going to rule over my people. You're going to be King David. And God is reminding David of that. God is reminding David here of where he found him and all he's done for him. Now look at David's response. Look at this verse. Bible says in verse 16, and David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, who am I? Notice his response. Who am I this evening? And I'll say this to you tonight. Who do we think we are tonight? And I'm not being smart, and I'm not being a smart aleck tonight. You'll see where I'm going with this in just a minute. Who do we think we are tonight? I'll say this to you tonight. You might not like what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to say it tonight. None of us in this room deserve nothing. If we got what we deserve, God never had a second look at you and I. That's right. But I'm good for grace and mercy, and thank God, love and kindness. Hey, he come to where I was. He sought me out. He changed my life. I want to say to you tonight, David's response was, my soul, his response simply is, I can't believe this. He says in the verse here, who am I that God would do that? And I want to say this to you tonight. Who do we think we are this evening? When I think about how God has blessed me, and when I think about how God has blessed you, I want to think about how God has blessed our country. I want to think about how God has blessed our church. I say to myself, who do we think we are? God, listen to me now. You know what we are? We're spoiled. Did y'all hear me? I said we're spoiled tonight. There's nation after nation, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute, that don't have what you and I have tonight. We're sitting here so blessed tonight. We're sitting here with the Bible tonight. We're sitting here with the knowledge of God tonight. Hey, we're sitting here this evening and know what it means to be saved by the grace of God. We're blessed tonight. Hear me tonight. We are so blessed tonight. And who are we tonight? Who do we think we are? And that God would do that for you and I this evening. I don't know if you realize this or not, but God has shared his blessings on this part of the country. And hear what I'm getting ready to say. We used to be the Bible Belt. Somebody said we're the buckle of the Bible Belt. I disagree with that. I don't think we no longer are. I really don't. But I want to say this tonight. Hear what I'm saying tonight. We are blessed this evening. God is good to us tonight. We got a church to come to. We've got a pastor tonight. Thank God we got a Bible tonight. Hear me tonight. We are so blessed this evening. So I want to take this little thought tonight. David says here in this verse, after God reminds him of all that he's done for him, look at verse 21 again. By saying verse 21, and what one nation in the earth is likened unto thy people Israel. Now, I want to say this to you now. I know he's talking to Israel. And matter of fact, there's some stuff in this chapter even spills over into the millennial. How when David, when Jesus sits on King David's throne. But here's what I'm going to say to you tonight. What one nation? Tell me this tonight. What other nation in the world is more blessed than you and I tonight? Are you hearing me? I said a while ago, and I just said it in passing, but it really is the truth. I've been in 25 different countries around the world. And I've never been in another place, whether it's Europe, whether it's South America, wherever it is tonight, I've never been in another place that I didn't want to come back home to America. And I'll say this tonight, God has been good to us. I say God has been good to us tonight, and our country tonight. So I want to take this little thought tonight and develop it into missions. Who in the world do we think we are? God's been so good to us. God has blessed and showered his blessings on this country this afternoon. And who do we think we are? I'll say, first of all, again, look at verse 21. What one nation in the earth, not just talking about Israel, but I'll say, what one nation in the earth is more blessed than you and I this evening? Why has God been so good to us? Why has God blessed us? I'm going to tell you why before I get done. Why has God showered his blessings on us? Why has God allowed in this part of the world have church after church everywhere? Why has God done that tonight? I'll tell you before I get done why. I'll say, first of all, now I've got to get him a message. Notice, first of all, again, David said, who am I? Oh, Lord God. And who am I? I'll say, number one tonight, first of all, tonight, I'll say, who am I tonight? And that God would give us the complete scripture. Don't you get what I just said? Who am I that God would give us, can I borrow your Bible? That God, is this King James? Okay. That God would give us a complete scripture. Hear what I'm saying now. Hear me real good. Think about what I just said. What one nation in the earth is like unto us? And David said, who am I? And I'll say tonight, who are we this evening? That God, hear me tonight, that God would give you and I a complete scripture tonight. We've got it all right here in our hand tonight. Think about this tonight. There's 7,100 different languages. Brother Robert Potts can speak most of them. 7,100 different languages. Out of those 7,100 different languages, only 2,200 of them have a Bible in their language. They tell me tonight there's around 5,000 languages that don't even have a Bible in their language. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? I think about why I'm saying that. The majority of the world doesn't have a Bible in their language. That's a sad day in the day that we're living in. Now think about this tonight. There's 41,000 different dialects. 41,000 different dialects. And only 5,000 out of the 41,000 have a Bible in their that they can read tonight. I'll say this to you now. Why are we so blessed this evening? Why has God been so good to us tonight? I mean what I'm saying now. Why has God done that? And I'm not fussing about it. I'm grateful for it. But I'm just saying tonight, why, who do we think we are and that God would give you and I what we have tonight? 80% of the Bibles in the world are in the United States, read by 10% of the people. Are you listening to me? And I'll tell you one thing, Miss Leslie, that lady can do anything on a computer. And listen to me, 41,000 different dialects, 7,100 different languages, and 80% of our Bible, listen to me, are in the United States, read by 10% of the people. I just want to say this to you now. Why do we have that time? You say, what in the world has that got to do with missions? You're not that dumb, are you? Are you listening to me? You know why God has given it to us? I'm going to tell you before I get done. And I'll just say this to you now. Why didn't he give it to somebody else? Why didn't he give it to another nation? Why didn't he give it to you and I this evening? I say, who in the world do we think we are? And that God, I would give you and I, and the complete and one of God tonight. Are you listening? Oh, my soul. There was a recent Gallup poll taken, and I wrote it down. He said there's a 40-year low in the United States of people believing the Word of God's truth. 24% of the United States people in America don't believe this Bible is the Word of God. Are you listening? Why did God give it to us tonight? Who do we think we are? And that God would give you and I the complete Scripture in our language tonight, that we can understand it tonight. Oh, my soul. Listen to me. There is places, and I'm on the internet, and I cannot say what I want to say. But there is places around this world tonight, guys that are pastoring house churches underground, they don't have that much of the Word of God. There is people, I read this, there is people that would give their little finger to have one page of the Word of God. And here you and I are tonight. Are y'all hearing me preach? Man, we're so blessed tonight. I'm telling you, friend, we're so blessed tonight. Think about what I'm saying tonight. Can you imagine not having a Bible? I know a missionary. I can't call his name. He goes in and out of a certain country, and I can't identify that right now. But he talked about some of those house church pastors and those countries where this missionary goes. The pastor don't even have a Bible. He has some pages. And they're not allowed to have a Bible in their country. Listen to me, church. Who do we think we are tonight? Why would God do my... That humbles my heart. I could have been born there. I could have been in that place tonight. Think about it tonight. We have the complete, inerrant, infallible, perfect Word of God, complete in my hand tonight. It's not a copy of the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Are you listening to me? I get a little disturbed at some of these Cracker Jacks get on the internet and tear down the King James Bible. One guy got on there not long ago and said our King James Bible is like a box of Cheerios is full of holes. I responded to that. I never respond to anything on the internet, but I did that. And I'm going to move. I ain't going to say nothing else about that. But listen to me. This Bible is the Word of God tonight. I'll tell you, there's not one error, there's not one fault, there's not one mistake, thank God. It's a complete and utter Word of God, thank God. Amen. Listen to me tonight. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Are you listening to me? Thank God, listen to me now. I want to tell you, listen, 40 men over 1,600 years gave you and I what we've got tonight. I said 40 men over 1,600 years gave what you and I have tonight. One would live, and he would die, and he'd lay down his pen. Then somebody else would come along, just like a dovetail, and fit right in and wrote the Word of God. I'm telling you, thank God, the Bible I got in my hand tonight. Why would God give it to us? How when the majority of the world doesn't have it tonight? I say we're blessed tonight, thank God. Well, you listen to me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That simply means God breathed. Now, did God just breathe twice in the Bible? First time he breathed in the men's nostrils. He become a living soul. The next time he breathes, he gives us living scriptures. Hey, man, are you hearing me? This Bible's alive. I'm telling you this city. Why would God do that? David said, who am I? Who in the world am I? You've done all this for me. Who am I that you would do that? I'm going to say to the church tonight, hey, who are we this evening? And God has been so good to us in that he'd give us a complete scripture tonight. Listen to me. There's been a lot of men that died in order that you and I could have what we got tonight. William Tyndale, at the age of 42, an English translator of the Bible, died. They choked him. They strangled him to death. When they got done strangling him, they took him out to a pole and tied him to a pole and burned him at the stake, because he's one of the English translators of our Bible that we have tonight. Listen to me, church. We're blessed tonight. I'm telling you, hey, you ought to cherish what you got in your hand tonight. That's God's love letter to his children tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Bible tonight.
Amen.
Are you listening? Who are we in that God would give you and I what we have tonight? I feel like the psalmist. David said this, at midnight I will arise and I'll give thanks for the word of God. The older I get, the more I love my Bible. The older I get, the more I want to study my Bible. And are you listening today? I read some stuff today I probably read 50 times. But I got a commentary down and read it again. You know why? Because there's just something about that book. You can just keep on digging. It just keep on breaking out nuggets. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Listen to me, church. Why we're so blessed tonight. David said, who am I? I'll say to us tonight, who are we in that God would give us the complete scriptures? I love the book. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of the believer. His doctrines are holy. His precepts are binding. His history is true. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains a lot to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's a traveler's map. It's a pilgrim's staff. It's a pilot's compass. It's a soldier's sword. Thank God it's a Christian charter. Christ is his subject. Our good is his design. And the glory of God is his end tonight. It ought to fill our memory. It ought to rule our heart. Hey, it ought to guide our feet. We ought to read it slow. We ought to read it prayerfully. Hey, we ought to read it frequently. Hey, listen now. Thank God. I said to you tonight, who do we think we are in that God would give you and I what we've got tonight? Hear me. Look at me. A lot of people, countries, don't even have that right there. And here you and I walk around tonight. You ought to be careful how you handle that book. Are you listening to me? I'm careful. I try not to set anything on top of my Bible. Y'all think I'm old-fashioned, don't you? You got it right. Are you listening? There's two things that speaks to my heart. My daddy taught me this. Brother Robert, I will not come into a church and walk down the church aisle with a cap on. This is God's house. This is God's house. I think, well, look, are you here? I got to get off that. I'll preach off. I don't hear me. I won't tell you tonight. Oh, my soul. Why are we so blessed? David said, who do you think we are? Who am I that God would do that? I want to say, who do we think we are in that God would give us a complete scripture? Then I want to say number two real quick tonight. Who do we think we are tonight? Number two, who do we think we are tonight? Not only that God would give us a complete scripture, but who do we think we are tonight in that we have a clear story? A clear story. How glad I know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Listen to me. When I was the North American director of Macedonia, I was out west for 9 years. Stayed out there. He was there, Canada won just about the whole time. And Brother Robert, you'd walk up to just about anybody you want to walk up to and say, sir, are you saved? And I'm going to tell you what they're going to say. Saved from what? They have no idea what you're talking about. Miss Leslie and somebody the other week, I don't remember who was with her, led a lady to Christ in jail in Yankinville that had never heard the gospel. Her first time of hearing the gospel right here in our county, the county over in Moab. Are you listening? The first time she heard the gospel, the pastor's wife gave her the gospel. And y'all know what happened to that lady? She got saved. Isn't that good? Hey, I'll tell you tonight, who do we think we are tonight? And that we have such a clear story. Hey, from a child I could have got saved. Are y'all hearing me, preach? I said from a child. I didn't. I wish I had a. But I knew who Jesus was at a very young age. I knew Christ had died for me. And I'll tell you this tonight. Who do we think we are? And that we have such a clear story tonight. Thank God I'm glad I know who Jesus is tonight. Are you hearing me this evening? Oh, my, listen to me. Think about what I'm saying tonight. 195 countries, they tell me now. 195 countries around the world. And the majority of them does not realize and doesn't have a fundamental missionary in it and don't really they know the name Jesus, But they don't know the whole story. I talked to a guy in jail this week like that. He knew the name Jesus. But the gospel, how the Christ died. But you and I have a clear story tonight. And when I say that tonight, you say, well, preacher, man, you're preaching to the choir tonight. I know that. But hear what I'm saying tonight. Why would God give it to us? When the majority of the world doesn't have it, they don't understand it tonight. But you and I understand it tonight. Hey, we know who he is tonight. Hey, out of that 195 countries, the majority of them has never had a missionary to come and present the gospel and so they could understand. Are you listening to me? How sad that is. Who do we think we are in that we have such a clear story? I got to hurry, number three. Who do we think we are tonight in that we have a converted soul? Again, it keeps having reference to verse 21. And verse 21 says this, and what one nation in the earth is likened unto thee? And I'll say to you tonight, what one nation is likened to you and I tonight? Hey, we have a clear story, but we have a converted soul. Hey, I'll tell you, I got converted 52 years ago. Listen, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And think about what I'm saying tonight. We have a converted soul tonight, but the majority of the world doesn't have that tonight. They don't understand it tonight. But you and I have a clear knowledge tonight, a clear understanding tonight. Thank God we know who Jesus is tonight. They tell me, I looked this up 2 weeks ago, they tell me, I can't get this in my mind, 55 million people die every year. 55 million people die every year. What you got to realize is there's almost 8 billion people. Almost 8 billion now. They tell me 55 billion people die every year. I looked this up the other day. In China alone, 10.4 million people die every year. Are y'all here? That's just one country. That's China alone. And think about what I'm saying. You and I have a converted soul. Most of them know nothing about God. And they die without Christ. They have no eye. They don't know tonight. That's why we believe in missions. That's why we give the faith promise. By the way, if you get all what I'm preaching now, money will not be a problem about faith promise. If all you ever see about missions is money, your vision is messed up. It's not about money. It's about a world going to hell tonight. It's about those that don't know Christ tonight. That's what it's about tonight. Aren't you glad somebody come to you? Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Hey, aren't you glad? Even as a child, you heard the story, thank God. Are you listening to me? 10.4 million people in China alone die every year. They tell me now in the United States, there's 332,758,444 people. Now, that's 2 weeks ago. It's a whole lot more than that right now. This United States, 332,758. Arithmetic was my favorite subject. 444 people. Are you listening to me? Is that on the screen? Yeah, that's on the screen. Is that on the screen? Yeah, right there it is. And listen, that's United States alone. And think about this: of all the religion there is in the United States tonight, of all the religion there is in the United States tonight, they know nothing about God. I sang about this when I was studying. They tell me there are 75.9 million Catholics in the United States. And if they believe what they say they believe, they're going to hell. I'm not judging, I'm just telling you. They have no idea, they don't have a clue. And boy, that breaks my heart among the Hispanic people. Because that's ingrained in them. That's why we need missionaries to go to them. That's why we need to go to the jail ministry. That's why we need tracts tonight, the Spanish-speaking tracts tonight. I thought about this. 6.5 million LDS or Mormons tonight. And if they believe what they say they believe, they're not saved. I'm not judging, I'm just telling you. If they believe what they say they believe, they're not saved tonight. Think about this. 4.8 million Muslims in the United States now. And by the way, that's the fastest growing religion in America. And I'll guarantee they're not going to heaven if they believe what they say. Are you listening to me now? Think about this, 2.5 million JWs tonight. You say, who's a JW? Jehovah's Witness. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not. And I'll say this tonight. Of all, I wrote all that down for this reason tonight. Of all that religion, they know nothing about a converted soul. Thank you, Ms. Lansley. You've done a good job. They know nothing about it. Think about what I'm saying tonight. I've just given you millions on top of millions of people that's tied up in religion tonight. And they don't have a converted soul. Who do we think we are tonight? You say, preacher, do you believe you're right and everybody else is wrong? No, I believe God's right and everybody else is wrong. And he says you got to be born again to go to heaven. He said you got to realize you're a sinner. You got to realize you're lost. You got to look to a hill called Calvary, realize what happened. 3 days later, he got up, thank God, and called on his name, he'll save you. You say, preach, is it that simple? It's that simple. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you this afternoon. Well, I had to put that on there for this reason. Yet, they know nothing about a converted soul. Who do we think we are? Are you listening? I was going to a meeting some time ago and I stopped in South Carolina. Did I tell y'all this? Okay, leave you said I didn't. I was going to a meeting some time ago in another state. Stopped in South Carolina to fill up with gas. And I love giving out tracts. I just love giving out tracts. And I normally put the credit card in, buy the gas, and get out of there. That's what I normally do. But I intentionally went in. My sugar was dropping. I needed an almond joy. And I went in. And I went in not only to do that, but I went in to give a tract. And there's two people in there. Lady, older lady behind the cash register, and then there's another person standing over here. And I gave them a tract. And this one I give to them this side. I said, thank you, sir. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I said, that's great. I said, how about you? She said, well, I think I am. I said, well, what are you basing it on? She said, well, who set you in the seat of judgment? I'm not judging nobody. I'm telling you, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. Are you listening to me? You die without Jesus Christ, and you're not. That's a fact. You bank on that. And I want to say this to you before I move tonight. With all that religion tonight, with all there is, the millions and millions that's got religion, who do we think we have a converted soul? We're really going to heaven. We're really going to get to go. We really got the truth, thank God. Hold my view while I shout tonight. Are you listening? Who do we think we are in that we have a converted soul? I close with this. David said in that text, who am I, O Lord God? And I'll say to you as a church tonight, and I want to get to my main point here in just a second. Who do we think we are? I say last of all, number four, who do we think we are in that we have the comforts of this sanctuary? I don't know about y'all, but I like these lights. I don't know about y'all, but I like the air conditioning. I don't know about y'all, but I like them padded pews. I like them, Brother Robert. I'll tell you, that feels good to my old bones. I'm not as old as he is, but it does feel good. Are you listening? And I like it. I like this beautiful piano. That's one of the prettiest platforms you'll find anywhere in any church. Those rock back there... somebody needs to get that light on during services. Them rocks back there. Now, you'll not find a prettier, this is a beautiful building. Only thing wrong tonight, on weekends, it needs to be a whole lot bigger. And of course, preacher getting ready to solve that problem, amen. But here's what I want to say tonight. Who do we think we are in that we have the comforts of this sanctuary? Go with me where I go and see what I see. I thought about this, and I don't have time to preach it. This is a church. You remember Keith Shoemaker? We support him. He's one of our missionaries. This is one of his churches. By the way, this particular service, see their church? You say they ain't got no church. Yes, they have. They got a church. You're looking at it. The building's not the church. And that's their church. And Brother Randy, 17 people's getting saved in that service. They're out there under the hot sunshine in Africa. I can't pronounce the name of the place. Yeah, that's it. Are you listening? At 17 people. But Brother Jerry, you come in here on Sunday morning, and you sit in the same place every Sunday. You got a wonderful comfort spot. I went to a new church a few weeks ago and sat down about where you're sitting in that new church I'd never been in. There's a guy let me know that was his seat. Am I telling the truth? Here's what that guy done. He got up here and he went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, he's watching the internet, 5. He said, tomorrow night you come in. The 5's where I sit. He said, tomorrow night y'all come in. Just remember, don't sit in the 5th pew. This has been my seat for years. You sit there, you sit there. I thought, this is the first night of revival. I've never been to church in my life. You wouldn't do that, would you? I like it. You all right. That man got born again. Amen. But think about this, and I'm done. Who are we that God would give us the comfort? I wonder why God's done that for us. See that, Brother Jerry? That's a church. I'm not lying to you. That is a church. That's a great church. You won't believe what that them people that goes to that church right there does in missions. You just won't believe what they do in missions. That I'm telling you, that's a church. You that can't see, come up here after service, give me $2 and I'll let you see it. That's a church. That really is a church. I preach in it. And you won't believe what goes on in that place. You won't believe where that church is. It ain't on the highway and it ain't even on the beaten path. That's a church. See that picture I got in my hand? That's a church. I preached in it. That's an old storefront run-down building in Jedburgh, Scotland. I preached in it, and your pastor's with me, but he don't remember it. 1990. When was you born? When was him born? Okay, 1989. Well, that's good English. When was him born? Are you listening? And I preach in places like that quite often now. And I say to myself, who are we that God would give us what he's given us? At least I'm not condemning it. I'm thankful for it. But my main thought, and I'm getting ready to give you my main point. Why would God do that, brother? Why would God do that for us? Why would God give us this beautiful building? Why would God, you're getting ready to put $1 million, probably close to $1 million that chair. Why would God do that for us? You say, well, preacher, that crowd over there is in Africa. Can I tell you something? You ain't worth a bit more than they are. And I will tell you, the blackest man that's in that picture this afternoon is just as precious in the sight of God to men you're looking at. You say, well, I just don't feel that way. You need to get right with God. Are you listening to me? Listen, I don't deserve nothing tonight. That young ones ought to be there. My grandchildren ought to be in a place like that. But God had been so good. I bless his name. Why has God walked one nation in the earth? Is likened unto thee. Are you listening to me? I'm going to give this and I'm done. Why would God give us the comfort of this sanctuary? I'll say this in closing. Listen to this verse. I don't know if I put it down or not. I probably didn't. Listen to this verse. Luke chapter 12. Write it down and put it in the memory of your mind. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, 49. Watch this verse. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. To whom much is committed, much shall be asked more. You know what God is saying? You that have the most is going to be required. Are you listening to me? For whosoever much is given, of him much shall be required. Now you know why God's give us this beautiful sanctuary? You know why God's give us the complete scriptures? You know why God's give us knowledge and understanding of the Word of God? You know why God's done that for us? You want me to tell you why? For whom much is given, much shall be required. It would be awful selfish of a Bible-preaching Baptist church to just focus on their group, their community, their families, and let the rest of the world go to hell. That would be so very selfish. Listen to me. Whom much is given, much shall be required. And the Bible said again in verse 21, what one nation is likened unto thee? I tell you why God's give it to us. He's give it to us that we might give it to somebody else. He shared it with us that we might share it with somebody else. Hear me tonight. Listen, the older I get, I keep saying that. I'm going to start believing it some of these days. The older I get, the more I realize this statement. There's only one life. That life's soon going to be passed. And all that's done for Christ is all that's going to last. I wish I had $1 million tonight. You say, what would you do? Well, after I bought some golf clubs and a deer rifle and a four-wheeler, no. You know what I'd like to do with $1 million? I know there's a lot of missionaries tonight. I know there's a lot of struggling churches tonight. I know there's a church up here on Blevins Store Road tonight. If I had $1 million, are y'all listening to me tonight? Where much is given, much shall be required. And again, I told you last night, and I'll tell you again tomorrow night, I'm not against laying some money up for a rainy day. But we ought not get too focused on that kind of stuff. You know why? Because this thing's wrapping up. I'm coming through here one time. I'm not coming through the second time. And all that I do for Christ is all that's going to last. And listen, where much is given. I tell you why God's given to us. What one nation's like us? I tell you why. Because he's given it to us that we might share with others and reach the world with the gospel. That's why he's given it. I thought about this and I'm done. You come piano. Don't play. Just come. Listen to this verse. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah and a greater than Jonah's here. I thought about this part of that verse. The men of Nineveh is going to rise in this generation and condemn it. I wonder this. I wonder if the world at the white throne judgment, we're going to be there. Not to be judged, that ours has all been taken care of right now. It's all taken care of. He took my judgment at the cross. I'm going to be judged on my service, but not whether or not I'm saved. But at the white throne judgment, I wonder if there's not going to be nations that's going to stand up and say, y'all had it. Y'all had it. You had it at your disposal, but you wouldn't share it. Now we're going to be turned into hell. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I'm going to tell you something. This thing about missions, I can't stress it enough. It's more than money. It's souls, man. It's souls. What one nation in the earth is likened unto thee. I'm going to make two statements and I'm done. He said I had 18 after. I got 18 more minutes. But listen to this, I'm done. I'll make two statements. When I realize what I've preached tonight, and when I think about what I've said to you in the last 35 minutes, when I think about that, it makes me want to do two things. Number one, it makes me want to get on my face in an altar and thank God for what he has given us. You just don't realize. Go to Haiti. Go to Jamaica. I preached in Mexico. I remember the last time I was in Mexico. We preached in a little building that probably wasn't much bigger than that platform that had 160-watt light bulb hanging from the ceiling. Darkened three midnights, and there's probably 75 people crowded in there, stood right in the middle of that crowd, the preacher, and preached. And there's more outside than there was inside. Are you listening? You've been to Jamaica. Go to Haiti. Why has God done that for us? Are you listening? When I go there and I see them things and go to them third world countries, it makes me want to come back and get down on my face before God and say, dear God, I don't understand why you've given us all this. We don't deserve it. And Lord, we really don't even deserve you have a second look at us. But you sure have been good to us. And I bless you goodness. It makes me want to get on my face before God and thank him. Number two, I tell you what else it does. It makes me want to reach out to a world that don't have what we have tonight. Who in the world do we think we are? I'm not beating up on y'all tonight. I'm just telling you the truth. Who are we? Why weren't we born in a third world country? Why weren't we born somewhere that never had the gospel? Why weren't we born somewhere that would give anything just for one page of the Bible? I'm going to tell you why. Where much is given, much will be required. You see missions from that perspective, I'll promise you money will not be a problem. Our heavenly